A little bit, but we have, reached out to a lot of people, and we've explained the bill very persuasively, I think, and effectively in the House. I think that it will get a good third reading, and that there may be some discussion, but I do think it'll pass emphatically in the House, and then it'll go to the Senate, where its prospects may be a little bit more problematic. I don't know. Senator Frosch is the sponsor of the bill in the Senate, and I think it's going to be a real test for Senator Frosch. He should be able to get the votes, but there is some question about whether he does or he doesn't. So it's going to come out of the House. It came out of the committee unanimously, and I expect that Senator Frosch is going to be the effective leader that I know him to be in the Senate.
How does this impact victims of dog bites? I mean, does this address their concerns? Does it address dog owners' concerns? How does it do
it? It really is a good compromise in that it increases the protections for victims of dog bites by allowing them to get to a jury or make their case without having to prove that the owner of the dog had prior knowledge about the dog's propensities to be aggressive. That's a huge concession that we've made to increase protection for the victims of dog bites, while we also have preserved the right of the owner to come into court and to try to defend himself or herself and explain that this may have been a very, very aberrant kind of an act that they had no prior knowledge. In most cases, this will go to the jury. It'll be a jury question. So we've increased the protections for the victims while at least retaining some of the protections for the defendants.
And it's not breed-specific, right?
And very important, it is not breed-specific. It does not impose strict liability on landlords. You know, this was a bizarre decision that came out of the Court of Appeals. The Court of Appeals willy-nilly imposed strict liability on landlords for the behavior of dogs owned by their tenants, where the landlord may not have had any knowledge about the dog's prior propensities. And people were basically being thrown out by landlords who said, you know what, if you have a dog, either get rid of the dog or you got to get out. And this really was a tragedy for a lot of people and continues to be a tragedy for a lot of people. So this is one of those situations where I think the Court of Appeals did not act in a measured, deliberate manner, basically disconnected itself from precedent, and we're going to try to restore some sanity to animal liability and animal law in Maryland.